Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to our second webinar of 2017. So this one's an interesting one, so the letting fees ban. I'm going to be joined with David Cox, who is the Chief Exec of Arla Property Mark. Okay,
Good afternoon.
just a brief introduction in terms of webinars. You'll be able to hear myself and David speaking throughout this, but we cannot hear you. So we want this to be more of a discussion. So on the right-hand side, there's a questions tab that you've all logged in that you can all see. If you can ask any questions that you may have throughout the whole of the next 30 to 45 minutes, we'll try and obviously cover them all off. I'll be picking the questions for David to answer. We've also had a raft of questions already from a lot of letting agents. So I've got a lot of questions that we can ask in between and also at the end for the Q&A section as well. So any questions that you've got, fire them across, put them on there, and we'll review them and try and get as many answers possible. For the ones that we don't get to answer over the phone during this webinar, we'll also follow up within the next 48 hours to answer all questions. Okay. So quick intro to the letting fees, the context behind it, why it's happened, the next steps, the proposals, discussions, where we're at now as of today. Obviously, David Cox will be answering several questions as well. There's going to be a poll with a few questions in there, and then obviously the audience Q&A at the end. Okay, very quick intro to Legal for Landlords for those of you who don't know us. There's almost 500 attendees on the phone. I think a lot of them are existing clients, which is obviously great. But for those of you who don't know us, it's, things seem to come in three, divisions, Legal for Landlords here. We specialize in tenant referencing, general insurances for tenants and landlords, and fixed fee low-cost legal services. We generally work with landlord direct, as in the private landlord sector, letting agents, and obviously tenants. So quick introduction to David Cox. Obviously David Cox was MD, is now Chief Exec of Arla Property Mark, which is obviously the new branding which was launched a couple of weeks ago. So hello to David, and thanks for joining us this evening.
Not at all. Good evening, or good afternoon.
So let's just kick this off. Let's get some context for this. So Scotland, fees were banned. Let's talk about the impact. Why the Scottish Government brought that into play. Scotland seems to do everything first nowadays, run it for a few years, and then England and Wales tend to obviously roll certain things out. So Scotland brought in the ban of fees. So it changed the way things were done in terms of tenant referencing. It wasn't being able to charge tenants. How did that impact rents, available property, quality of property? So there's obviously a lot that gets wrote in the media in terms of, there's been no impact to rent increases, there's been no changes. Obviously that's very biased in terms of certain segments of Scotland, and if you look at a few different cities and Glasgow was always a city that seems to get picked on when it refers to these stats. But, there's other places like Aberdeen that the changes were obviously massively impacted. So, David, can you just update us in terms of Scotland and give us the facts and figures around since the ban of fees there in terms of obviously everything I've just outlined?
Certainly. You're right. Scotland banned fees in November 2012, officially. But technically, they actually banned fees in 1984, and what they called premiums in 1984. And therefore, the fee ban in Scotland didn't have the same effect as it will in England, because fees were already much lower. A lot of the things that agents charge for in England were already banned up in Scotland in 2012. I think based on anecdotal evidence from members, I think fees were generally around the £50 to £60 mark up in Scotland, while obviously in England it's much higher. Nonetheless, if we actually look at the Scottish Government's own statistics, in the year after the ban came into force in Scotland, rents rose across the country by 4.2%. Glasgow is the one that is usually used as an example of it didn't have any impact, because they only rose the least, which was 3.7%. But if you look at Aberdeen, we're at 16.8%. But I would say the Aberdeen market is more based on the price of oil rather than the price of houses. In the same period in England, rents actually across the board fell by 0.7%, according to the Survey of English Housing. Obviously not so much in London, but across the board in England, fell by 0.7%, rose in Scotland by 4.2%. So we would argue that there is a circa 5% rent increase as a result of the ban in Scotland. I think that would probably be higher in England because the fees are higher in England.
Exactly that. I think the biggest point there is that the tenant fees in Scotland were, like you said, around £50 compared to obviously the average of England and Wales. It's like a totally different market in its entirety and totally incomparable to England and Wales. To obviously copy those exact same figures and stats for Scotland for England and Wales. So obviously Wales are obviously following suit, plans for consultation to ban the fees. Do you want to just tell us about in England how this all came about? Because obviously one of the questions I've got pre-webinar was, why haven't Arla done enough about this, to fight this, to stop this from coming into place in the first place?
Certainly. Well, firstly, if we look at Wales, after the Chancellor announced the ban in England during the autumn statement last November, the Welsh Assembly also announced plans to ban fees to tenants. We've been in correspondence with the First Minister's office since then, and he sent me a letter a couple of weeks ago saying that effectively they're going to wait and see how it plays out in England, and then we'll look to a consultation in Wales. Northern Ireland has done something very similar and has also announced plans to ban letting agent fees, and they have a consultation ongoing at the moment. In England, to a large extent, the writing has been on the wall for quite a long time. We've got a few examples on the slide there of what has been going on, but if we put it in a kind of chronological order, if we go back to 2015, it was Labour Party's policy in the 2015 manifesto that they would ban fees to tenants, they would have three-year tenancies and rent control during those three-year tenancies. We fast forward 12 months to the mayoral elections last year. Sadiq Khan, the Labour candidate, now mayor, successfully campaigned on banning fees to tenants in London. They were supported by the Greens, UKIP, and the Lib Dems, who all also campaigned for banning letting fees in London. Even the Tory candidate, the Conservative candidate, Zach Goldsmith, used the term letting agent fees are almost a scam. So there was a lot of anti-letting fees rhetoric during the mayoral election and the general election over the last couple of years. In Westminster itself, Lib Dem peer Baroness Grenda has the Renters' Rights Bill going through the House of Lords at the moment. Green MP Caroline Lucas has a bill going through the House of Commons as well at the moment, both banning letting agent fees. The slide, when I wrote the slide, 35 MPs had signed an early day motion calling on letting fees to be banned, and early day motions are a call on the government to act on a particular topic. So at the time of writing it was 35, it's now 54. At the same time, features editor of the Debrief magazine, Vicky Spratt, launched her campaign to ban letting fees. She put a petition on Debrief's website, and Debrief is the youth publication of Grazia magazine. It had over 250,000, I think it was over 258,000 signatures on that petition, which really focused the government's attention, and therefore they created the Affordability and Security Working Group that was supposed to be looking at the issue of affordability, which is letting fees, security, longer-term tenancies. Whilst that group was undertaking its work, the Chancellor, somewhat out of the blue, announced the outright banning of fees to tenants in the autumn statement. Now, I suppose you ask, why hasn't Arla done more? Why hasn't Arla stopped it? Arla has been working very hard, both publicly and behind the scenes, on this for, in fact, well over a year. We started discussions about letting fees in 2015 when I was discussing with Emma Reynolds, the Shadow Housing Minister, Labour's policy. We've been discussing it with a whole host of MPs from all sides of the aisle, with Lords. And in fact, actually, last Party conference season, I spent 2 days at Labour Party conference, 2 days at Conservative Party conference talking about letting agent fees and how to square the circle effectively, that there was an awful lot of noise about banning them. We were trying to find a solution beforehand so that it didn't end up in the outright ban. It did come somewhat out of the blue to everybody on the 23rd of November, but since then we have been working very heavily with DCLG, Department for Communities and Local Government, with a variety of MPs and with our members over the, across the country. You've got in your handouts in the webinar two documents. One is our tenant fees research report, which with over 1,000 agencies contributed to that over December to actually explain to the government what fees, but what do you charge for, what work do you do for those fees, and how long does it take to really explain to government the sheer volume of information, the sheer amount of work that agents do when setting up a tenancy. And then the second document is our proposal to spread the cost of fees over the first 6 months of the tenancy, which we have to take into account that the Chancellor has announced an outright ban on fees. We completely disagree with it, and certainly in the statement we put out on the 23rd of November, we called it a draconian move, and I spent that entire day on national radio and television defending agents, and certainly in a phone-in during Radio 5 Live, discussed with some very happy tenants where I got called a slug and a parasite for explaining that agents do an awful lot of work for the fees that they charge. These are essential and vital services that need to be undertaken in order to secure both the landlord and the tenant, and fees should be open, upfront and transparent, and they should be reasonable. But we don't agree at all that they should be banned.
Okay, well, that nicely summarises it. I wouldn't agree with the slug and parasite, though.
Yes, it was an interesting one.
Okay, so let's jump on to the next section. Okay, so this all came about based on the autumn statement, Philip Hammond, and like David said, it snuck in under the radar. Not many people were aware of it at all, and it was a massive crowd pleaser. Oh, let me just get that back up. There we go. So, just to talk around this slide, David, in terms of the fees, yes. In terms of the ban, so we always get a lot of questions from our agents, you know, and our private landlords direct. So landlords are asking the questions, can we charge fees to tenants still when this comes into play? You know, what types of fees are the agents are asking us? Well, this is purely the word upfront fees has only been mentioned. What about when it comes to renewals? What about when it comes to end of tenancies? You know, what fees are we actually talking about here? Can you shed any light in terms of the fees, in terms of what we're actually looking to be banned, obviously before we talk about anything else?
All I can say for absolute definite is that which is written on the slide. The exact wording from the autumn statement is that the government will ban letting agent fees to tenants to improve competition in the private rental market and give renters greater clarity and control over what they will pay. The Department of Communities and Local Government will consult ahead of bringing forward legislation. That is all we know for certain at this point in time. Interestingly, whilst I was doing the interviews on the 23rd of November, the BBC was talking to me about banning upfront fees. Everybody else was talking to me about banning all fees. And I was wondering, did the BBC either not understand the difference, or did the BBC know something more than we do? In discussions with DCLG over the last few months, we're still really none the wiser. We have asked what upfront fees mean, and they have said, well, we don't know, that is what we're looking at as we scope the consultation, and will be one of the questions that we are looking at during the consultation. So what is going to be banned? Is it going to be all fees, upfront fees, or a cap? And the cap is the one that certainly when I speak to agents around the country on a regular basis, I get, why can't we have a cap? A cap is not a ban. The government have come out very clearly and said it will be a ban, and therefore a cap is highly, highly unlikely. We have never supported a cap on the basis that saying let's have a cap is admitting that there is something wrong with all fees. Now, there are examples of agents that have charged extortionate sums of money. The worst I have been hit with, which was live on Radio 4, was an agent that charged a tenant £1,800 to renew a tenancy. And therefore, we have never supported the cap. Are they going to ban all fees then, or upfront fees? If they mean upfront fees, what does upfront fees actually mean? Will they allow certain things? So right to rent checks, maybe anti-money laundering checks when they come in later in the year, referencing holding deposits, inventories. Will those be excluded? Possibly. We don't know. What about sort of charges? So if an agent has to go out and open a door at 2 o'clock in the morning because the tenant has locked themselves out, will that be able to be charged for? At the moment, we don't know. The whole concept of the Affordability and Security Working Group was around this idea of how do we make it more affordable for tenants to move within private rented properties. Not much we can do about first month's rent, not much we can do about the deposit. So it's a way of easing affordability by tackling the fees aspect. And that's where we have come up with our spreading fees proposal. The agents will still be able to charge fees, but they will be spread over the first 6 months of the tenancy. It's still a ban on fees, but a ban on upfront fees to tenants, because these vital services do need to be paid for.
Okay, so Gavin Barwell, Housing Minister. So we started his UK tour today, so we've been following that, our marketing team, and one of the primary focuses today for one of his talks that he did in Birmingham, because I believe he's in Manchester this afternoon, was, you know, how can the government incentivise the private sector landlords so in order for them to offer more security in tenancies? And that seems to be the big focus of one of your talking points. So what would be your thoughts on that point?
Yeah, and this is a really interesting point, actually, because we've got on the slide, is this in isolation? Successive governments of every colour and combination of colours seems to play with the private rented sector and the legislation. The law is constantly changing. They are seeing an individual problem and trying to find an individual legislative solution to fix that problem without looking at the concept as a whole. The problem we have in the market is there's not enough properties. There's some unscrupulous landlords that bring the whole industry, and agents, I should say, that bring the whole industry into disrepute. And all the new laws are being enforced and are dropping into a vacuum, a black hole, because there is no overarching industry regulation. So they're looking at longer-term tenancies, rent capping. Once again, they're trying to find a legislative solution. Until they build more houses, we're going to continue to have this problem of escalating house prices, escalating rents, and the affordability issues. Do I think they should do longer-term tenancies? Does the market want it? And the answer is simply no. Talking to agents in every part of England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, tenants don't want three-year tenancies. Now, there is certainly a market for it. According to Shelter's research, of the 9 million tenants in the UK, 1.3 million are families with children, but that means that 7.7 million are. So I actually quite like what the government has done in the Housing White Paper. They're encouraging institutional investment into the sector. They're encouraging various companies, US investment, other foreign investment, the pension funds, the insurance companies, to actually build to rent. And they're saying, we will guarantee that, we will provide you with assistance, financial and otherwise, to build these properties. But in return, we expect you to offer three-year tenancies as standard, whilst leaving the rest of the market alone. I think that's actually a good solution, because it leaves private landlords, letting agents, to continue operating in the way they are and providing the accommodation that is much needed for those 7.7 million people. But if there are 1.3 million people that want longer-term homes, I think this is a good option and a good solution. It's getting new homes built, it's getting them built for rent, and it's looking specifically to target that which Shelter has announced is a problem area in the market. So I think it actually kind of squares the circle. What we do need to factor in, though, particularly with letting agent fees and the whole host of other regulation that has come down the line in the last 12 months and will come down the line in the next 12 months, is it's all going to drop into a black hole unless the government does something overarching. Unless we have some form of industry regulation, we are still going to have charlatans at the bottom end of the market exploiting tenants, offering substandard properties, overcrowding them, and poorly managing them, which will continue to bring the entire industry into disrepute, and therefore governments will continue trying to find individual solutions to problems. What we need is an overarching regulation, and our proposal certainly says if you are going to ban fees, don't do this in isolation. Do it as part of reform of the sector and introduce proper industry regulation.
Okay, so obviously one of the key points there is obviously supply and demand, standard economics. In terms of government, we've never ever hit our quota in terms of building enough homes per year. So do you think that'll change much in terms of moving forward in the next 5 to 10 years under this government or the potential next government? Do you think we'll ever hit our quotas in terms of the plans that are getting put into place now to meet that demand?
Simple answer to that question, absolutely not. The last general election was amusing where, you know, the Tories came out and said, we'll build 200,000 homes a year. Then Labour announced, we will build 300,000 homes a year. And then the Greens came out and said, we will build 500,000 homes a year. Well, no government builds homes. They haven't since the 70s. The market has always generated roughly the same for the last 50 years, between 125 and 150,000 homes a year. The White Paper's announcement of we're going to build 1 million homes by 2020, good luck. I don't believe you're going to manage it. I don't think you're going to come anywhere close unless the government actually starts getting into the house building game. And where we went when we were building 250, 300, 350,000 homes a year, that is because the government were building the difference. So they were building 150, 175,000 homes a year in the 60s, 50s, 60s and 70s. Once the government stopped building homes, that dropped down to 150,000 a year. If we think that for every one house built, four new households are created at the moment, 1 million new homes by 2020 isn't even going to keep up with demand, let alone deal with the backlog, and they're not going to come close. So this is the biggest issue. We are lumbering rapidly to a massive housing crisis in the UK.
That's it. So it just sounds like a hell of a lot more crowd-pleasing comments, you know, one after each other.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what this statement was to a large extent. If you look at the autumn statement from last year, first major budget announcement from Theresa May's government, probably the biggest and most important speech Philip Hammond had ever given. And it contained a lot of very interesting macroeconomic detail, but to bored journalists, it was dull as ditch water. It was very important, but boring. It wasn't going to fill column inches, so they needed something that was interesting, crowd-pleasing, a good stunt, effectively, and unfortunately, letting agent fees were the one that they used.
Yep, as always. So we're taking a bit of a hit in the sector at the moment. So what this is could be that, you know, we've had four changes. Some have came in, some haven't yet, in terms of the tax relief, in terms of in April, and obviously we've got the ban on the fees. So let's go on to timelines. So obviously, yep. Options available. What are they going to do? When are they going to do it? Based on today's information, and obviously we've got a nice slide to follow this in terms of how an act goes through Parliament. Let's talk best case scenario. Let's talk worst case scenario in terms of timelines.
So what are the options that the government could do? As we've already talked about, Baroness Grenda has a bill in the Lords, Caroline Lucas has a bill in the Commons. Option one, which will be the quickest for the government, is to take over one of those bills, turn it into a government bill, and push it through Parliament. Baroness Grenda's bill has almost finished its passage in the Lords, so it's halfway through its parliamentary passage. So that would be the fastest option. They get the primary legislation through Parliament and then leave the Minister to consult thereafter and bring in the law as the Minister sees fit. Option number two is to introduce a short one-line bill similar to that which they did a couple of weeks ago on Brexit, which will just say something like, the Secretary of State shall by regulations make the banning of letting agent fees. push that through Parliament very quickly, do a consultation afterwards, bring it into force. Now, the government has said very clearly that it is not going to do that, but we are certainly planning just in case they do. What the government have said they will do is take the more traditional route through Parliament, which is our third bullet point, but have a kind of an A and a B. Firstly, they will do a full consultation. They're suggesting that that consultation will come out late March, early April. It will be 6 to 8 weeks long, and then they will introduce a bill after that. And option one is to either introduce a bill into Parliament as a standalone bill, so just a bill banning letting agent fees, or as part of a larger bill, probably a bill announced in the Queen's speech, which brings in the elements of the housing white paper together with the consultation on banning letting agent fees and have a much wider housing bill. Those are kind of the two options. We've got no idea which one of the two they are likely to do, but planning for both at the moment. If we go on to the next slide, we can then talk kind of timescales. The next slide, the image is actually, it's a graphical representation of a passage of a bill through Parliament. So any bill can be introduced into the Lords or the Commons. They have to go through both houses. They then have to agree between the two houses before it goes off to the Queen for the royal assent. If they take over an existing bill, it will be much quicker. So, for example, Baroness Grenda's bill in the House of Lords is currently at its report stage, so it's pretty much finished its House of Lords. It's got to go through all the five stages in the Commons, back to the consideration of amendments, and then off to the Queen. If they do a short government bill, it starts either in the Commons or the Lords, goes all the way through pretty quickly because it will be a short bill. Then the consultation could be enforced as early as October 17, October this year, if they do either of those, but they have said they won't. But that's kind of worst-case scenario. If they do a consultation...
Can we rule that out? Sorry, can we rule out October 2017? More yes than no?
Highly unlikely, but certainly I have a full plan and campaign ready if they do that. Much more likely is the consultation than the bill,
yep.
And that will depend then whether they do it as a standalone bill, because that will go through Parliament probably quite quickly, or as part of a much larger housing bill, which will take much longer to go through Parliament. A short bill, probably introduced in autumn, the third session of Parliament this year, the autumn session, after they return from the party conferences. If it's a standalone bill, it'll probably take 6 months to go through Parliament, then some possible statutory instruments, depending on how the bill is written, could be enforced by April next year, probably more likely October next year. If it is part of a bill that includes the housing white paper, that will again probably be introduced autumn this year, in the third session. Probably 6 to 9 months through Parliament, at which point we're looking October 18, April 19. We have no idea how they plan on doing it. The traditional parliamentary route, the traditional route that something like this would be through a large housing bill. If they've got housing white paper and a consultation, they're likely to put the two together into a larger housing bill. So that is what we are expecting. But it could really be any one of those four options, and we just don't know at the moment.
So basically, prepare for every single scenario because it's just totally unknown at this moment in time. When is the next stage for any release? Obviously, you know, Gavin Barwell's doing this tour of the UK. That'll be finished in the next couple of weeks by mid to end of March. You know, what do you think will come out on the back of that?
I really don't know. The Housing Minister spoke at the National Association of State Agents Conference, the NAEA conference, a couple of weeks ago, where he remained remarkably quiet on the issue of the letting fees consultation. It is, of course, ALA conference on the 28th of March, just over a month away, where we are hoping we might get slightly more information out of the Housing Minister. He will be there to answer questions, and I am absolutely certain that letting agent fees are going to be a key topic that our delegates will be asking him about. We may have the consultation at that point, we may not. certainly in the briefing that I've sent him his office over the last few days, please talk to us about letting agent fees and include the timescales. But what he says, I don't think any of us will know until he stands up on the stage at our conference.
Okay, so yeah, thanks for that, David. So it's still a little bit unknown. It's just basically agents making sure in terms of business, preparing themselves for a worst case scenario proposition, and then a potential best case scenario's position is a spread fee over 6 months potentially, even though we're unsure if this is at this moment in time a ban on all fees, regardless of how they're positioned, or a cap on fees, which is highly unachievable potentially as well. Okay, so quick poll in terms of this. So let me just load up the poll. Okay, so the first question is, this is interactive, so obviously for those that have logged in, that are on their computer, just click the button. So how much do you charge a tenant on average? So options are 100, 101 to 200, 201 to 300, or 301 plus. If you can just click away, and we'll just gauge the results. Okay, nearly what, 80% nearly voted. Okay, let's hit submit on that one now. Okay, so in order for this one, so I've got 60% of those on the phone are charged between £101 to £200. I've got 5% of £100 or less, 33% at £201 to £300, and 5% of you at £301+. So David, just remind me, what was the average fee charged to tenants via the Arla study?
So based on our survey of Arla members, the average fee was £202. Last year, the government, based on the survey of English Housing, was £223, and research from Citizens Advice Bureau came out at £334.
Okay, so it's interesting that, 90% of our audience charge between £101 and £300, so that sort of falls in line with it as well, because I'm sure I've read articles or information that the average fee by obviously people that support this bill is 300 plus, 350, 400 plus as well. So it just depends on where you read and what you see. Again, to quote Donald Trump, it's fake news.
It's dependent on the samples that they take, where they take the samples. Now, we did a national poll across England and analysed it. We did have higher results in London, for example. So I think for our members in London, it was £216. For those outside London, I think it was a little bit less, and I can't quite remember the figure, but I think it was £196 outside of London. And therefore, it's statistics. But certainly the government's figures, we would agree with the government's statistics. They were saying across the board it was £223. We were just Arla members, and I would almost suggest that the more professional agents charge the lesser, because it is the fringe end of the market that are charging the extortionate fees. Going back to the £1,800 one, that is what has caused this.
Yeah, it's just a pure, it's a one-off, isn't it? From when we've done agent surveys like this, the fees have ranged from zero, anything up to £400. We've had a few disgruntled agents emailing in saying that they think it's totally unfair because they've never charged more than £50 or £75 for that tenant fee, and then they've listed a huge list of what they do to justify that fee. Now, once they've listed all those things, which is simple items from drafting up tenancy agreements, back and to with the tenant, back and to with the landlord, several viewings, matching them up with properties, all that time and effort is far more justifiable than a £50 or £75 fee in registering deposits. So there, I think, well, they're a group of agents that are going to feel very disgruntled if and when this comes into play, because obviously they're going to nick that revenue up somewhere else.
I agree entirely. It's a situation where the minority have caused a major problem for the majority, and the vast majority of agents are professional operators in the market. But unfortunately, those that make the headlines are the tiny minority, and the government reacts to it. MPs get in their post bags, they get in their constituency surgeries, tenants saying, I've been charged X by this terrible letting agent. You know, we have been there to highlight to MPs how important the work of a letting agent is in making sure that the tenancies run smoothly. And something that we've been going around the country at the regional meetings, talking to members about this, and really encouraging agents to go and talk to their MP. Book time at your MP's constituency surgeries, and go and talk to them about the impact of your business of this ban. Everybody on the webinar today can access ALA's proposal on banning fees, access our tenant fees research. Take that in, and I would be grateful if people are doing that. Please let us know so that we can follow up with MPs. And you know, I'm meeting MPs on a regular basis. It's always useful to know X letting agent from ABC Lettings has been to see you at your constituency surgery, and this is going to impact you. And being able to, you know, I have to speak in broad national statements, but if I'm going to see an MP and can actually point to an agent in their constituency, say this is going to affect one of your constituents, somebody that is going to be voting for you in a few years' time at the next general election. You're going to unemploy somebody in your constituency, you're going to put their business at serious risk by these actions. It brings it home to the MPs rather than listening to overarching national statements. It's about making it real and making the decisions that they have to make in Parliament real for them on the ground in their constituency. So please do let me know if you're talking to MPs, and please do talk to your MPs.
Yeah, no, 100%, and I think I've got a few questions around that as well to answer, so we'll come on to them shortly. Quick poll again for the second question. This is obviously one to obviously every attendee. Do you think rents will increase if a total ban of upfront fees or all fees indeed comes into play? It's just a yes or a no, simple one. Give it a few more seconds to run. Okay, so I'll close the poll. So in terms of that question, do you think rents will increase? 93% of the audience have said yes, and 7% of the audience have said no. Okay, really interesting. I think you guys have run this as well on one of the handout documents as well, and I think it was significantly overwhelming in terms of rents will increase as well.
Yeah. Ours was 89% on the tenant fees research, so that everybody expects fees to rise. Expects rents to rise. And in fact, actually, even the Office of Budget Responsibility, when they published their kind of review of the autumn statement, they put in very quietly and didn't publicise it in any way, but they still put in, yes, it's highly likely that rents will rise as a result of this policy. So whilst many people are in denial, pretty much everybody in the know accepts that rents are going to increase.
Yeah, but that's one of the standard arguments. Ban of fees comes in, agent could lose anything from potentially £50 to £202 quoted by ALA. How are they going to make up that income in other areas? And one of the obvious ones is obviously to pass the fees on to the potential landlord. How do you do that? By various ways. What does the landlord do? He then increases the rents, obviously affecting the tenant. So this policy could potentially then have a opposite effect to the tenant. So that brings me on to the next question. Obviously, you know, I think you quoted 5% actually earlier on, David, in terms of rents increasing. We obviously referred to Scotland. Obviously, their population is obviously totally different marketplace. But again, one for the audience, last poll. You know, 93% of you obviously said yes, you think it increased, but you know, how much do you think this would increase by? 5%, 10%, 15%, what are we looking at here? What results? A lot of our clients have already factored in potential increases. I think one was actually very vocal in the press as soon as this came out, that I think he actually even worked out in a precise figure that rents would increase by circa X amount per month if this was to come into play. So majority have nearly voted, got 70% votes come in. Close the poll off in a couple of seconds. So obviously this question is just broadly speaking, obviously we can define this and drill it down so much, but in terms of broadly speaking, 5, 10, 15%, 41% think that it will be 5% increase, 54% think it will be 10% increase, and then 4% of the audience, you know, doesn't quite add up, will just think 15%. So 95% of the audience will think there'll be an increase between, you know, of 5 to 10%, which is significant. We've looked at average rents from our tenant reference inside of things, and outside of London, we're looking at around £730 for the average rent. Within London, it's closer to 1,000. So even if you're looking at a 10% increase on that, is obviously, you know, it's what, 60, it's anything from £70 to £100 per month that the tenant would be potentially worse off. So that goes back to your argument of potentially a spread fee. Let's say it was, you know, £250 or whatever that spread fee off, regardless of what that size of that rent would be a better situation than anything between a 5 to 10%, surely. But lead on to another question, just to follow on what you were saying, David, was one from the audience. It's like, what more can ALA members do, and obviously agents that aren't ALA members do, to help enforce this point that we've established and that everybody's talking about?
What can members do? What can non-members do? I think at this point in time, it is about communicating what you do for the fees that you charge. It's about communicating with your local MPs, because they're the ones that are going to be voting on it in Parliament, and it is about communicating with the government. I would encourage people, write to Gavin Barwell, the Housing Minister, write to Theresa May, write to Philip Hammond. This is a policy that came very much from number 10 and number 11 Downing Street. DCLG were working along the Affordability and Security Working Group. In fact, the Communities Minister in the House of Lords, only a day and a half before this announcement was made, stood up during a debate on Baroness Grenda's bill and said the government doesn't support the outright banning of letting fees. The government then did an entire U-turn in 1.5 working days. So it is about explaining to MPs, to ministers, what you do. I would highly encourage people to go to these roundtable discussions that the Housing Minister is undertaking at the moment, to actually explain what he is doing and what is being banned and how that is going to impact. With the other things we've got to factor in, yes, rents are going to have an impact, but agents, if income is going down, expenses need to go down. So are the service levels going to be withdrawn? This is the tenancy agreement. If you like, you don't like it, don't sign it. Are we going to start seeing gazumping in the rental market if agents don't have to put any any holding deposit down? At which point, if tenants start taking 5 or 6 different properties and then choosing which one they want, will agents start taking 5 or 6 tenants, whichever one gets through first is the one that gets the property? And we have to look at the unintended consequences. Now, our proposal, agree with it or don't, I would certainly suggest you read it, because it's got a lot of the arguments about the impact. Think about property conditions, management standards. Think about, for the government, if you're writing to Philip Hammond, talk to him about the impact on the exchequer, because letting agent fees attract VAT at the moment. If you ban them, that's money coming out of money that's not going into the Treasury's coffers. If rents increase by 10%, that means that the housing benefit budget is also likely to increase by 10%. So at a time when the government is trying to balance the books, money coming in going down, money going out going up. at which point that is bad on both sides for the Treasury, and I don't think the Chancellor has really understood that point at all. What I would say is please do let us know and let Arla know if you are contacting MPs. My email address is davidcox@arla.co.uk or davidcox@propertymark.co.uk. They will both come through to me just to let us know so that we can then follow up with MPs. And we have had quite a lot of success. I know of members across the country that have been to their MPs, and we are following up with those MPs. And you know, I'm going to be in London tomorrow meeting DCLG and meeting a number of MPs to talk about letting fees. Because it's not just us that's putting that can put pressure on the government and the housing minister, but if MPs themselves are starting to realise it's going to have an impact on their constituency, on their constituents. You know, are some of their constituents going to be made unemployed by this? Are their local businesses going to grow? Now, these are things that are happening on MPs' watches that are affecting their constituents, which they need to know about, and I don't think they really do at the moment.
Okay, that's been great. I've just reviewed a lot of the questions coming through. And obviously, please, I'll leave this webinar open for another 5 to 10 minutes after as well. So if there's any further questions, obviously, you can fire them through. Glancing through a lot of them, the majority of them we have covered off. If there's anything else, then obviously, that we think we haven't answered, then we will feedback to you. But for now, all I can say is thank you for obviously registering and attending this webinar. These webinars are obviously powered and delivered to you based on thoughts and topics from our client base, letting agents and landlords. So if there's any other topics that you'd like to hear about, then obviously get in touch with our marketing team, because a follow-up email will come on the back of this asking for feedback. So any topics or subjects, then obviously thank you, and that'd be greatly appreciated. And obviously, David, thank you for your time as well. I know you're a busy man with all your TV, press and radio interviews. I know that banning tenant agent fees is the biggest topic.
Absolutely.
In the, you know, for the membership, obviously, I know with great success of obviously Property Mark launching, but just to get the credibility out there and the awareness, because I think I remember one of your slides is, you know, do the general public trust the estate agents, letting agents, and we're at the market, the sectors at the bottom, towards the bottom of the list. They'd rather trust the hairdresser compared to the local estate agent. So there's a lot to be built on in terms of the perception in the marketplace, and I think obviously everyone's trying
to
do the right thing.
That's
it. And licensing is the biggest, isn't it? And I think Arla have been pushing for licensing for agents to basically prevent these things from happening as well. So obviously, worthwhile. We've got some good feedback so far. Questions are coming in. There's been a lot of social interaction as well. So obviously, we've got a free advice line as well, a free phone number and an email as well. So if anybody wants to give us a call for any free advice with regards to anything that we've discussed today, or anything to do with our business, and we've got an email address there. If there's any questions as well that you want to direct to ourselves and we can feed to David and his team, then by all means do that as well. And just a plug for the Arla, there is an Arla conference. Obviously, it's the biggest annual conference of the year within the industry. There'll be 1,000+ delegates, I think. I think we're close to those numbers now in terms of the conference, which is at London Excel on the 28th. So it's great to see a lot of our clients there will be exhibiting as well. And that's the next conference we're at, when it happens to be the Arla one. So thank you all for your time again this afternoon. Again, like I said, I'll keep the webinar open. Any questions, fire them across, or just send them across an email. Thank you again.